So the instructor said, Mano, you're coming down the side of a mountain pass and you're picking up speed. On one side, sheer rock. The other side of the road, sheer cliff, 150 feet down. No guardrail. And you find your brakes are out. No working brakes. And you're coming into a hairpin turn. What would you do?
Well, to find out what Mano would do, you'll have to stay tuned. Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. All of us face problems in life from time to time, but on today's program, Pastor Wayne will show you that in the midst of the problems, God has given us the edge. Here is Pastor Wayne with part two of a message entitled, Helping One Another Through Difficulties.
See, because we can make almost a modern day religion of this seeking, this absence of pain and problems and difficulties. That says, if you got faith, then you won't have pain. If you got faith, you will never go through difficulties. If you'll just have faith, and if you don't have faith, you'll have problems. If you don't have faith, you'll have pain. That's a myth. Because if that's true, if faith is equated to this blissful state, then Jesus' faith wasn't very credible. Because he went through many difficulties, much pain, all kinds of struggles. In fact, the Lord says, anyone who wishes to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's the course of becoming more like him and that image that he wants us to be. That's the course of life. And that's the ways of God. But if we're looking for this religion that keeps us immune from that, it's not Christianity. In fact, the Lord says to us, you will not be immune from the difficulties of the world. I'm going to take you right through them, and you're going to experience all of them because of what I have planned for you. We will not be immune from the difficulties of life. However, he said, if you will be cognizant of the fact that I'm walking with you, I will give you the edge in every difficulty, but you won't be immune from it. Because of what I need to develop in your heart for the ministry that I have for you out here. You've got to go through some of that. For example, the heart of those that are most compassionate for cancer people, the most compassionate for those who have been molested, the most compassionate hearts for those who have been abused, the most compassionate heart for those who have been divorced, will usually be found in those who have themselves, what? Gone through it and experienced it themselves. But if he removes all of those pain from us, do you understand we will never have a true, genuine, compassionate heart for those that do. But God says, I'll give you the edge. You won't be immune from it, but I'll give you the edge on it. And if we don't go through any of that, if we don't learn, then we will never grow. Let's say a person, this is a 10-year span, and a person enters this course of 10 years and there's some problems that come upon him and he cries out, oh God, remove him. Whew, okay. And a little more. More problem. God, remove him. Okay. Whew, a little bit more. Here's some more problems. God, get him. Okay, good. A little more. God, get him. Okay. Yeah. And at the end of 10 years, do you think this person will be any better than he was when he began that journey? Not at all. It's coming through these where our heart melts. And the dross gets burned out, and we come through looking a little more like him. Is it easy? No, but that's the ways of God. And it develops in our heart a likeness. So look through problems as something to learn from. That's what we find in Hebrews 5:8. Jesus himself exampled that. Would you read it with me? Ready? Go. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things. Yeah, but some of those things, they're tough. But always remember this. Would you put in your mind, never, never, never think that a problem is unsolvable. Would you write that in? Never think that way. No. The Bible says in Matthew 19:26, and looking upon them, Jesus said to them, here it is, let's read it, go. With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are what? Yes. You might think they're unsolvable, but it's only because it's unsolvable to you. You might not be able to solve that problem, but it doesn't mean it's unsolvable. It just means maybe you've not got the right help yet, found the right person to help you. Maybe you've not worked through it hard enough yet or thought about it objectively. But it's unsolvable. No, it just seems that way to you at that moment. It's like the guy who went to get his truck driving certification in the mainland. His name was Manel. And Manel went there and took this whole course. And the final exam was an oral examination. So the instructor said, Manel, you're coming down the side of a mountain pass. And you're picking up speed. On one side, sheer rock. The other side of the road, sheer cliff, 150 feet down. No guardrail. And you find your brakes are out. No working brakes. And you're coming into a hairpin turn. What would you do? He said, well, I wake up my brother Keoki because he's sleeping. So the instructor said, what do you mean? So we see my brother Keoki comes from a small town in Hawaii, and he's never seen an accident like this one. No, pull the handbrake, he says. You see, we think things are unsolvable. But it's only because they're unsolvable to us, but it doesn't mean they are unsolvable. It also could tell that if something seems unsolvable to you, it could indicate that we have chosen to bail out. We have made a decision. We've already made up our mind it's unsolvable. Once that happens, faith stops. Because if you think a problem is unsolvable, what does it do to the problem? It becomes what? Yeah, unsolvable. Because you locked it here in your mind. It's unsolvable here. It shuts down all creativity at that point. If you're open to faith, then you must never say it's unsolvable. Now, it may be solved in a different way, and you'll learn from it. But don't ever say it's unsolvable. You say, well, what if it comes to a dead end? Keep your heart open. You never want to shut it down. It was exemplified by Houdini, who's one of the greatest, not only illusionists of all time, but he could pick about any lock there was. He was a master lock picker. And one day he was challenged by the most innovative and most technologically advanced at that time, security manufacturing company, who did brand new locks in this jail, and challenged Houdini with the challenge that he could not pick his way out of this one. He was in the cell and he had 2 hours and pulled out all of his picking devices and started to pick this lock. He broke the first pick and he tried another one. He broke the second. He just couldn't get that thing to turn. 2 hours went by and he was just saturated with perspiration, frustrated, and he thought, this is the first time, first lock I cannot pick open. Frustrated, he leaned on the door, and when he did, his weight pushed it open. You see, they had tricked him. It was open all the time. He was in a cell trying to open a lock that was already open. But he couldn't open it. Why? Because in his mind, he thought it was what? You see, when you think something's locked, even if it's open, you won't be able to open it. Because you already said it's unsolvable in your mind. Never think something is unsolvable, because once you do, you shut down everything, even if it's open. But probably the number one cause for us not being able to solve stuff is an unwillingness to pay the price, or an unwillingness to change. Because all problems are solvable. You can have a nasty, gnarly problem with a couple, and a counselor can sit in and say, oh yeah, we can solve that one. But the couple will say, nope, irreconcilable, not unresolvable. Why? Not because it's not solvable, because we don't want to pay the price. We don't want to pay the price. I've met with parents, and I'll say to parents, what makes a good marriage? And we will fill the blackboard with the greatest resources and greatest ideas to make a great family. But still, we don't have great families. Because you see, the issue is not, do they know how to build a great family or a great marriage? The issue is, are they willing to pay the price to build a great marriage? That's the issue. All of us need to be willing to pay the price. I'm going to share with you out of Matthew chapter 8, a story about Jesus going into the Gerasenes. But before I do, let me introduce it with a favorite hero of mine, a missionary by the name of David Livingstone. He worked with the people in the deep depths of the Congo in Africa, and God used him to bring a great revival there. Well, the English Mission Society heard about his work and wrote him a letter letting him know that there was some people that wanted to join him in his efforts. So they wrote this letter and said, "Dear Dr. Livingstone, we know that you're in the Congo and you're deep in the bush. We have some people who would like to join you. Do you have some easy access roads to get to where you're at?" He immediately wrote back, "If you have men who want to come only if there are good roads, I do not want them. I want men who will come even if there is no road at all." See, it's the willingness to pay the price that gets you involved in God's program. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus comes to a place called the Gerasenes. Now, the Gerasenes is the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, and there was a bunch of people there raising pigs. Now, in those days, pigs were not kosher. You weren't supposed to do that. Maybe that's why they were way over there on that side of the Gerasenes, on that side of the Sea of Galilee. But Jesus arrives. When he gets off the boat, there's a guy that's been demon-possessed, and he's naked running in through the tombs. First recorded streaker in the Bible. And he comes to the Lord and skids to a stop, falls to his knees, and he cries out, "We know who you are." The demons start to speak. "You're the Holy One of God. Have you come to destroy us?" And the Lord says, "Get out of this man." He uses his authority. And the demons say, "We don't want to leave this area. We kind of like it. See those pigs over there? Can we go into them?" The Lord says, "I don't care. Go into those things." So they jump into the pigs. And the pigs go crazy. And the Bible says that they go to the edge of this cliff and jump off. It's like a swine dive. And they go in, kill them all. It's the first recorded case of deviled ham. And and the Bible says the herdsmen ran back into the city and reported everything. And the people came out to meet Jesus, it says in verse 34. And when they saw him, they begged him to leave their region. And I wrote in my Bible, what? He just did a miracle. And they're saying, "Get out of here." I thought, why? You know why? Because the herdsmen were mad that their herd of pigs was gone. You see, they said, "Jesus, we want your solution, but we want to save our pigs. You see, we want you to solve our problems here in the Gerasene, but don't touch our pigs. Oh, we know it's not kosher and all, you know, we know it's not right, but don't mess with our pigs." The Lord's saying, "Well, wait a minute here. You have to be willing to pay the price, and the pigs are going to go. That's when your problems will also go." You see, a lot of times we don't want God to mess with our pigs. We develop an attitude. We develop this illicit relationship emotionally with somebody else. In our marriage, we see it drifting apart and we say, "God, solve the problem, but don't mess with my pigs." So our attitude comes into a pig and we have a pride problem and we have this little macho problem, or we're starting to use our moods to punish each other. Whatever it might be, we just don't have clean hearts, and that unclean heart just goes oink, 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 oink. And we start developing this herd of pigs, and we walk around oink, 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 oink. And the Lord says, "I'm going to come in and I'm going to solve your difficulty, but you got to be willing to get rid of your pigs." Oh no, just bring your solution. "But I want the solution for nothing." It's not available. How often we say, "We want deliverance without disturbance. We want all the glitter, but no litter. We want all the blessings, but no bills. We want the ume, but not the musubi." Isn't that right? You just go straight for that thing. That's the rest you throw in. And God is saying, no deal. You got to be willing. Now you notice, in that vicinity, the demons didn't want to leave that community. You know why? The demons knew they had a good thing when they saw it. When we have that kind of attitude, the devil loves to hang around people like that. God's going to come with deliverance and help us, but we got to be willing to pay the price. We got to be willing to get rid of our pigs. Because if you don't, you're going to have more problems. Now, there's going to be signs that'll come along the way. So would you write your next bullet? Read the signs. Learn to read the signs. When there's all kinds of racket in your life, you know that you're drifting. Otherwise, a man will come and say, my wife left me this morning. I'll say, no, she didn't leave you this morning. She left you about 2 years ago. It just happened this morning. What happened with the signs that God gave to you? The rumble strips that you were hitting when you were drifting and the racket that was happening. You'll notice there's a loss of affection, a loss of this, a loss of that. You saw a sandwich out in the porch. What did you do with all the signs? Learn to read the signs. Otherwise, left unheeded, you will meet up with the guardrail. Because someone once said it this way. You will be steered by the rudder or you'll be steered by the rocks. It's up to you. Be steered by the rudder or you'll be steered by the rocks. Well, you say, well, Wayne, you know, what if we go through some difficulties and you're with another, like a spouse, and that spouse doesn't want the ways of God? He fights or she fights against the ways of God. Well, we all know that there are tragedies like that in lives and relationships, and not just in marriage, but in many ways. But especially in marriage, if you have one person that says, I'm willing to get restored, and the other person says, no way, it's unsolvable, well, you're going to have that problem. And you cannot have restoration unless there are two people saying the same thing. As Amos says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? So the Bible says, the two shall become what? One. But a house divided against itself will not stand. So you will go through and you will see some fallout. And there's no victory unless both people want to work together. Both hands are together. Because there's that old Portuguese proverb that says you cannot clap with just one hand. I think it's the only proverb that the Portuguese have. And that they stole from the Chinese. But you see, you need a willingness in both parts. Well, you say, well, Wayne, that's going to happen in different areas of our life. Mm-hmm, really does. So then what should our goal be? Does that mean it's unsolvable? No. Here's what you always seek. Number three is this. Seek likeness. Seek likeness. That you'll come through looking more like him. That you may not have all your ducks in a row, but you don't want to look like ducks anyway. You want to look like Jesus. You want to come through with some dross burned out. You want to come through with less pride, less pigs, and more likeness into his image. Let's read what the scripture says about that. Ready? Go. You must display a new nature because you're a new person, created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true. In the old days, when they used to refine silver, they would take silver ore out of the ground. Now, in it is a lot of dross and impurities and minerals. But they'll put it in a cauldron, and they will bring it to its melted state by turning up the heat. When that happens, the dross begins to go to the top, and you'll see this cloudy kind of crust. And the silversmith would then scrape that off. To bring about the rest of the dross floating to the top, he has to turn the heat up even more. And as he does, the rest of the dross comes to the top, and there's this cloudy film covering the silver ore, melted material. And so he then scrapes that off. And to get the final dross out, he turns it up even more. Finally, the rest of the dross comes to the top in this little film. Now, what it's told is when that silversmith takes off the final dross or that cloudy kind of film on the top And when the silversmith can see his image as in a mirror, reflected in that silver, then he knows that the refining process is complete and it's done what it was supposed to do. You see, the one who refines us is no other than Jesus Christ himself. And there's going to be times as we go through this process to become what he's created us to be, to develop that character quality. Really, it's to create or bring about or bring to be expressed the image of Christ, so that when people see us, they don't see the filmy dross on the top. They don't see a cloud of film. They see the image of likeness. They'll see him. Then as you develop and I develop his character qualities, then we start to think as he would think. We begin to see as he would see. We begin to make decisions as he would make decisions. We resolve difficulties as he would resolve them with his heart. And when people see us, they don't see just people beset with difficulties. They see the power and the heart of Jesus Christ. They see his image in us. And when that happens, they will come and say, you know, by the way, I've got some difficulties. Would you help me through it? And then we begin to understand that that's how the law of God is fulfilled. As we come to that point where we, along the way, can bear one another's burdens, thus fulfill the law of Christ. That's called the church. Amen.
Dark clouds are a blessing when the earth is dry. Too much sun can make the roses die. Lightning, thunderstorm, rain, and then such peace. The air is fresher when a storm has washed the sky. Sun can make the roses die. Lightning, thunderstorm, rain, and then such peace. The air is fresher when a storm has washed the sky. When the earth is dry, too much sun can make the roses die. Lightning, thunderstorm, rain, and then such peace. The air is fresher when a storm wash the sky. The air is fresher when a storm has washed the sky.
You've just heard a message entitled Helping One Another in Difficulties by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.